If you have not watched the American Gladiators documentary on Netflix, turn this show off right now, go watch it, and come back. You will not regret it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for June 11th, 2023. I am your host, Greg Hernandez, but my gladiator name is Asshole. Yeah, that's what my dad used to call me, so anyway, it fucking works. So anyway, yes, the Netflix documentary, Muscle and Mayhem, American Gladiators unauthorized documentary. It was fucking great. You definitely need to check that out, but I will get to that at the end of the show. That's what we call a teaser. But anyway, I hope your 4th of July's were fun. I hope they were safe. I hope you came out of it with as many digits as you went into it with. Mine was a giant pain in the ass. It really was. You know how seemingly every county in the fucking country says don't light illegal fireworks. Don't light illegal fireworks. Whatever you do, don't light illegal fireworks. Like, we've heard it over and over. And there's always at least one asshole in a neighborhood who decides, you can't tell me what to do. This is America. We believe in freedom. And if I want to light off my fireworks, I'm going to light off my fireworks. Well, guess what, folks? I had four of those assholes in my neighborhood, and somebody lit my fucking backyard on fire. Yeah, that shit happened. So I'm at my house with my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece, who's just a little ball of awesome. She is fucking adorable. Love her to death. And we're lighting off our legal fireworks at the end of the driveway, okay? Well, the neighbor right across the street is lighting off his illegal fireworks. And these fuckers are shooting 40, 50 feet in the air and popping, okay? The drunken redneck next door to me is lighting off his illegal fireworks. So now we have two. We have two on my street, literally 30 feet from my front door. And then you got two more assholes on the street behind us lighting them off too. So I'm the eye of the asshole hurricane. Just I'm right in the middle right there. Now this seemingly is bad enough, right? No, it gets worse. Because the drunken redneck next to me, his fireworks are only shooting up maybe 20, 30 feet. I think I'm exaggerating this because I don't think they were going up that high. But I'm going to say 30 feet before they were popping. And his daughter, who is my niece's age, so they're around first grade, the girls are running back and forth between our yards because we're right next to each other. And this redneck's daughter, real sweet little thing, she's I like her. Her dad's a fucking idiot, but I like her. She decides she's going to run from my yard back to her yard, which is just right next door, when her fucking drunken dad, Cletus, lights off his firework. The damn thing only goes up maybe 15 feet, explodes, knocking her on her ass. Yeah, that's a fucking thing. Luckily, she was behind a car when it happened, so she wasn't burned, but the force and the sound just knocked that poor little girl on her ass. I felt so bad for her. But that was my 4th of July. My brother, my sister-in-law, my niece, they all leave. They go home. And finally, my neighborhood is quiet. I'm like, oh, thank God. And lock my doors, turn out my lights, go lay on my bed, and I'm watching My Cousin Vinny. And I'm sitting there thinking, fuck, I smell like illegal fireworks. I smell smoke. I smell, you know, gunpowder, whatever the fuck's inside of them. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up and take a shower when somebody just starts leaning on my doorbell, just ringing the fuck out of my doorbell. Well, I got a doorbell cam, so I look at my phone. I have no idea who the hell this guy is. I answer the door, and he's like, bro, your backyard's on fire. Yeah. Yeah. So apparently one of the last rounds that went up, one of the damn things landed in my backyard and lit my entire fence on fire, lit all the shrubbery, all the bushes, everything just engulfed in flames. And I'm just, motherfucker. run to the front yard, get the hose. This dude is actually with my neighbors across the street. They saw the fire across the street. I am in my room. Now, folks, my room, I have two windows, one east-facing, one west-facing. Both have blackout curtains because, well, there's only two positions the sun can be in, east and west, which makes my room about as hot as a pizza oven 22 hours out of the day. So I went and got me some damn blackout curtains, which blacked out the fire in my backyard. Yeah. So run, get the fire, get the hose out of the front yard. My neighbor, all of his family, seriously just rush into my backyard. We've got two water hoses going. We've got two garden hoses going, spraying down this damn fire in my backyard. And finally, somebody calls the fire department. So that was fun. Fuck. So, yeah, that happened. And the drunken redneck next door is peeking over the fence like fucking Wilson from Home Improvement. Yeah, he's just peeking over the fence with his fucking Budweiser hat like, everything okay? Fuck you, bro. Fuck you. So that was my 4th of July. Yeah. I've decided next year, anybody that's lighting illegal fireworks in my neighborhood, I'm going to throw a lit road flare and a water balloon full of gasoline through their bedroom window. Fuck you guys. So, hey, that's the show this week. No. All right. Anyway, moving on. In some of the most interesting WWE news, Jerry McDivitt is calling it quits. He's retiring. Who the hell is Jerry McDivitt, you might ask? That is Vince McMahon's lawyer that he has been with since 87, 88, somewhere around there. When did Vince get busted for steroids? 87, 88? No, it's like the late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, McDivitt has represented Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Entertainment for, I got to do math now, shit, 40 years. He has represented them for 40 years. And if you go watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode that is talking about the steroid trial, McDivitt is all over that documentary. And he just looks like an arrogant prick, which is what you want in a lawyer. let's not bullshit. You want an arrogant prick who's going to go in there and wreck everyone else's shit and protect yours. I mean, let's be honest, okay? I mean, the guy might end up burning in hell, but hey, he saved your business. So the reason I thought this was interesting, Jerry McDivitt is retiring, is how much is Vince gonna have to fucking behave himself now that McDivitt is gone? Like, I'm sure Vince is going to go out. He's going to get a new lawyer. They're going to find a new law firm. Like, it's not like Vince isn't going to have a lawyer. But McDivitt has gotten Vince out of so much shit. We've already talked about the steroid trial, all right? McDivitt, if it wasn't for McDivitt, Vince would have been doing federal time. Because they were trying to get him on a distribution, on a trafficking charge. And since WWE traveled, you know, pretty much the entire East Coast, it makes it a federal case. So, yeah, they were trying to bust Vince. And if it weren't for McDivitt, Vince might have been doing federal time. All right. Vince, should we mention the woman that Jimmy Snuka allegedly killed? Yeah. Okay. There was that. I say allegedly. There was how many sexual harassment allegations that McDivitt just made disappear? Jerry McDivitt is the Chris Angel of sexual assault charges, because he just makes that shit go away like nothing. You're like, wait, wasn't there a sexual harassment allegation? Nope. McDivitt made that shit vanish. And now that McDivitt's retiring, Vince's butthole has to be just a little puckered. It really does. Like, oh, shit, I got to behave myself. You know, think about it. Like, the closest analogy I could make is, like, remember when OJ had to give up killing white women when Johnny Cochran died? Like, and to his credit, OJ Simpson has not killed another white woman since Cochran kicked the bucket. But that's kind of the same shit that Vince is in right now. Vince is like, God damn it, I gotta stop sexually harassing people. Shit. Fucking McDivitt. Like, anyway. I do realize that's super random, and it shouldn't even qualify as WWE news, but that's fucking WWE news. That's how that goes. So my show, my rules, fuck it. Next story. This one. This shit. Elon Musk. Now, I gotta say, if you're gonna lose your shit, remember like 5 years ago when everyone thought Elon Musk was gonna be like the real life Tony Stark, and he was gonna give us like the guy here said, here's a car that doesn't run on gasoline. There you go. Oh, here's solar panels that don't look like solar panels that can go on your house. They look like normal roofing tiles, which go into this Tesla power wall, which will power your entire house and pretty much get your house off the grid. Elon Musk was setting himself up as the real-life Tony Stark. And then apparently he stopped taking his meds. Because that dude is as nutty as squirrel turds. He has lost his shit, all right? We'll skip over everything he's done to Twitter, because he just wiped his ass with Twitter. Elon took $44 billion out of his wallet, bought Twitter with it, and proceeded to wipe his ass with Twitter. Twitter is... Okay, I realize I'm about to say that Twitter is just a shitstorm, which is... that's we're talking about social media. Think about the ground that covers, okay? But Twitter is just a dumpster fire now. Anyway, this motherfucker lost his shit, went on social media, and challenged Mark Zuckerberg to a cage fight. That happened. That is some delusional shit right there. When a billionaire thinks he can beat somebody up. Bro, I realize that you're rich and you can pretty much buy anybody you want, but throwing hands with them? Yeah, not so much. No. And look at it this way. Did he challenge Conor McGregor to a fight? Fuck no. Did he challenge Floyd Mayweather? No, he didn't. And you know what? You know Mayweather would take a dive for like $1 billion. If Elon says, here, I'm going to give you $1 billion and we're going to go into the ring and we're going to do the finger poke of doom. Like, Mayweather would hit the ground faster than a pair of panties at a Post Malone concert, all right? Yeah, no, that, Elon didn't do that shit. No, he didn't. He challenged another tech nerd that he thought he could take. We just got footage of Mark Zuckerberg winning some jiu-jitsu contest. And nobody can figure out where this contest was actually at, where this tournament was. But apparently Zuckerberg is training MMA because Zuckerberg actually thinks he's going to be Batman. He's a billionaire learning fucking mixed martial arts. So we've got the shitty Iron Man versus the dollar store Batman in a cage fight. Is it my birthday? Is this going to happen? Really? Like, you don't understand. I am so psyched about this. I am so excited if this actually happens. Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg in the shittiest MMA fight of all time. Go back and try to find, like, that Joey Buttafuoco China boxing match. That's gonna look like ballet. Compared to Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. And don't give me this shit. Well, Zuckerberg trains MMA. No. Find me any MMA fighter who's worth half as much as Mark Zuckerberg. I dare you. Find me an MMA fighter who's worth, a tenth of what Zuckerberg's worth. You know why MMA fighters are so fucking mean and they're so fucking hostile? Because they're poor. They're fighting for money, fuckers. That's the thing. They are fighting because they're tired of being poor. Conor McGregor was damn near homeless. Seriously, had like $7 to his name. And the guy's a multimillionaire. You know why? Because he grew up poor. And he's like, I'm going to knock this bitch out. Collect this check so I don't have to be poor no more. So I don't give a shit if Zuckerberg's winning jiu-jitsu tournament somewhere. These guys are probably taking a dive because Zuckerberg's worth $50 billion or whatever the hell he's worth. I don't know. I don't care. But no, this is not going to be a good fight, folks. This is going to be a billionaire who shot his mouth off versus another billionaire who trains MMA as a hobby for fun. That's what this is going to be. This is... Okay. I have to kind of encapsulate this for you. And in order to do that, I've got to go back to high school. Because this is going to be the greatest example of what I saw in high school. I was a freshman in high school, and I watched two guys get into a fist fight, which in and of itself is not out of the ordinary. Okay? This was like the days before mass shootings. So two high school kids could fight it out, and it was over then and there. So yeah, not a big deal then. But these two guys got into a fight over who belonged to the coolest Boy Scout troop. That happened. I'm standing 20 feet from these two guys who are seriously throwing hands over who belongs to the better Boy Scout troop. And this was seriously like Troop 235, Troop 17, fuck you. And then they proceeded to throw 200 punches and not one goddamn punch landed. Both these guys seriously closed their eyes and then just started windmilling their arms round and round, and not one punch landed. And I'm standing next to my friend Nicole, and I just went, is it my birthday? Is that? Oh my God. And we proceeded to laugh hysterically because this was the greatest fight. I've been out of high school for over 30 years, folks. I have been out of high school for over 30 years, and I still remember this fight. So when I heard that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg were going to get in a cage fight, I'm like, it's part two. I've seen this fight before. Hell yes. So yeah, I'm so excited, folks. I am so excited for this shit. All right, moving on to the main event of the evening. This is going to be a short show. This is really going to be a short show. Hey, I'm just proud that I did a show two consecutive weeks. So if this show comes in like around 30 minutes, I don't care. I had two consecutive shows. That's a win. The main event of the evening, the Netflix documentary Muscles and Mayhem, the unauthorized documentary of American Gladiators. Okay, for those of you who don't know American Gladiators, which couldn't be many of you, I've looked at my demographic. You guys are all my age, roughly, give or take five to 7 years. You guys saw American Gladiators. And if you're not in my demographic, even if you are in your late 20s, early 30s, they tried to reboot that shit about 15 years ago, and it tanked, all right? But this was the story of how this show came to be, how it got popular, and how it died a death. And it's only three or five episodes. I don't remember. I was up till 5 a.m. watching it because I could not turn it off. I was enthralled. This started out pretty much like UFC started out. It was some TV execs, some billionaires who were bored and said, hey, let's throw this stupid shit together. And what they did was they essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing, the documentary didn't say this, but this is what's going on in my head as I'm watching. Let's take Double Dare. Let's make the games even more shitty. And we're going to go out and get people that are just roided out of their fucking minds to do these events. Let's try that. And that's what they did. The early events were garbage. They were absolute garbage. There was one event where you had some dude hanging on a bungee cord like a worm on a hook. And he's covered in Velcro. Like apparently one of the producers said they saw this bit on the Letterman show, and Letterman is wearing a Velcro suit. We've all seen it. You go to the fair and you see the guy in the Velcro suit hits the trampoline and sticks to the wall. Those were the early American Gladiator events based on just random shit like that. And They made the pilot, and the pilot looked horrible. Any kid who was poor in the 80s came up with stuff like this to entertain themselves. I remember me and my friends taking a milk crate, and we zip-tied it to a skateboard and made a car. And we jumped in the milk crate, and we got pushed down a hill. And it wasn't until you're in this milk crate, zip-tied to a skateboard, going down a hill at 70 miles an hour, do you realize, hey, we forgot, how am I going to stop this damn thing? Yeah, brakes didn't occur to us. That's the kind of shit they did for the original American Gladiators. Just rinky-dink shit that got a lot of people hurt. And so what they did was they got Gemini. Gemini actually had this, he had a football background. He had a college football background. And they pitched him the idea, and they said, hey, we need your help to scout athletes. And so Gemini was all cool. He was down with it. Yeah, okay, cool. He helped pick out the gladiators. He helped pick out the contenders. He helped design some of the events. And then they shot this really shitty pilot with these horrible, these absolutely horrible, just garbage events. How they got the show sold, I have no idea. But they found a TV company, and they produced it, and they brought this director in. Oh my God. This director had to be one of the just skeeziest, scumbaggiest people I've ever seen in my life. Like, have you ever just met somebody and the first thought in your head is, that guy has roofied cheerleaders in college? I just know it. That's how sketchy this fucking guy was. All right? And he just reminded me, like, I seriously got this vision that he was the grown-up version of Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
And the rest of the cast, like, because they had some of the gladiators on there, and you know, and they would talk about how you go into the control room and this director had sex toys like stuck to the top of the equipment and shit. Anyway, yeah, this guy was just a big ball of fuck. But apparently he was a damn good director, because he actually knew how to shoot the gladiators and how to shoot the action and make it look professional. Anyway, so first season kicks off, and I remember this, folks. I remember you had six gladiators. You had Nitro, Gemini, Malibu. You had, and on the female side, you had Zap, you had Lace, you had Sunny. And I remember these events, and they kept talking about how these people shot the show like a TV show. They didn't shoot it like a sporting event. So there were no medical personnel on hand at all. There was no medical staff. So if somebody got hurt, you were screwed. And then they showed the footage. I remember. Okay, first one who got hurt was Malibu. And you have Nitro, who Gemini, like I said, he had some, pro football background. And then so did Nitro. Nitro played for the LA Raiders. So you have these guys who actually had sports experience. And Nitro said about Malibu, yeah, like, he was a cool guy, but when I was playing football, you could always tell who didn't like to get hit, because they would take a big hit and then they would start blinking incessantly. And you knew that guy wasn't going to make it through training. And he said that he saw Malibu take a hit, and this dude was like blinking, almost like he was like spelling out help me in Morse code with his eyelids. And Nitro knew, like, nope, this guy's done. This guy's not going to be back. And he lasted for like another, what they say, like a few weeks, maybe. And I remember this. If you guys remember the event, Human Cannonball. The gladiators had to stand on this round platform, like 8 feet off the ground, And the contender would jump on this rope, which had a seat on it, and then they would just come down, knees to their chest, and do a cannonball. And they would just swing like a wrecking ball into the gladiator. I remember this. Now, the rules were that when you jumped up, when the contender jumped up on the rope and they sat down, they had to go into a tuck position, knees to the chest, and just stay in a ball. No, this contender decided that he was going to extend his feet as he's careening into Malibu at like 70 miles an hour. He kicks Malibu right in the chest. And Malibu, who had this huge mane of blonde hair, you just see hair go everywhere. It looked like a car accident. Malibu said that he remembers he didn't fall down and back. He didn't fall like straight back. He actually got lifted up off the platform. Malibu then turns 180 degrees, lands on his shoulders, on his neck, and on the back of his head on these crash pads. So, I mean, it's not like he's landing on hard floor. He's landing on crash pads. But Malibu's own knees come back and hit him right in the face. American Gladiators came out when I was 10. I remember Malibu just getting shit wrecked. Like, I remember this. This is burned into my childhood. And what I didn't realize was Malibu gets taken to the hospital because his knees hit him in the face, busted him open. He ended up with like 10 stitches over his right eye and wasn't even bleeding. Like, he wasn't even bleeding, but Malibu was an actor. He was an actor with like some racquetball experience. So that was his athletic background, was racquetball. And the dude was an actor. You can see him in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. He's like the centaur, whatever centaur character. This dude said, nope, fuck this. I'm going to be an actor, and my job is my face. My job is my face. I don't need this show busting it up. Screw you. I'm done. Nitro called it. This dude got his lunch eaten, and he just said, fuck it, I'm out. You had another gladiator get hurt. Oh, Sonny. I felt so bad for Sonny. Because Sonny, there was an event called Breakthrough and Conquer. And what it was the contender had a football. You ran like 30 yards and you tried to get past the gladiator into the end zone. That was the breakthrough. After that, you went to a wrestling ring a wrestling mat. It wasn't an actual ring. It was a circle. It was a literal ring. And the goal was to wrestle the gladiator out of the circle. And basically it was sumo. I just put that together right now. It was sumo. What they decided to do was raise the circle up like 6-8 inches. They put it on a platform. And this female contender, as her and Sunny are wrestling, Sunny falls forward, puts her foot down to break her fall, blows out her knee. You actually see the knee just twist and contort in this just grotesque. I hate shit like that. But Sunny was an Olympic cyclist. That was her background. This fucked her athletic career. Like, blew out her knee. She's done. And you have Zap being interviewed in this documentary. And even Zap was pissed because Zap is like, it ruined her career. Her knee is still screwed up to this day. Ended any athletic career she had. And the show didn't give a fuck. They were just like, oh, shit, what are you going to do? Like, they did not take care of these athletes at all. And they're showing footage of contenders getting hurt, gladiators getting hurt, people being carried off the field. Like, oh, my God, this shit was horrific. And then show starts getting popular. They start picking it up for a second season. Actually, they change it for the first half of the second season. And then into the second season, they started pouring money into it. So now you have, they went out and got more gladiators. And they went, hey, You think maybe we should get, like, some medical personnel? Because we're going to get sued. And so they went out and they got athletic trainers. They got, for fuck's sake, you filmed it at Universal Studios. You could have hit all of the colleges. You could have hit USC. You could have hit UCLA. You could have hit all of these colleges with sports medicine programs and got student trainers, got interns. How did you guys not think of this shit? But they didn't. And two people had to get hurt in order for them to go, oh, hey, maybe we should take care of our stars. I don't know. But yeah, so they have to go out and get more gladiators. And they went out and they got a guy named Tower. I have no recollection of Tower. I do not remember Tower at all. And I found out why in episode 2. So Tower was, quite obviously, just a giant dude. This dude was, what'd they say he was like? That he was probably like 6'6", 6'7", 320 pounds. Just a solid dude. Tower may or may not have been on some controlled substances. There may have been a performance-enhancing drug or 10 in his system, because apparently during an event, during Human Cannonball, there was a guy, there was a contender who, instead of staying in the tuck position, he actually turned 90 degrees to the side and extended an elbow and actually puts the elbow right under Tower, right under Tower's chin. Was it Tower or Titan? I don't fucking know. I think it was Titan. Anyway, yeah, it was Titan. Puts the elbow right under Titan's chin, knocking him off the platform, and you have a referee down there. This referee actually helped put together the rules, because apparently he was like a big referee with like college football. And the referee goes, nope, that was a clean hit. That was good. And Titan lost his shit and proceeded to chase the referee up into the stands and almost out of the building. Yeah, bit of a roid rage. that happened. And so the people running the show goes, hey, along with the sports medicine team who's taking care of our athletes, think we should drug test them? These guys didn't think of shit ahead of time. They only thought of shit when people got hurt or almost died. And this poor referee, who's maybe a buck 45, getting chased out of this building by a 6'6", 310-pound black man. Yeah, that's death. That's basically death. So, like, we should probably drug test these guys to make sure they're clean. Hey, Titan, yeah, we're going to be drug testing you on Thursday. And Titan said, fuck you, I quit on Wednesday. This show was great. This was shit I didn't know. Like, I was an American Gladiator fan from season 1. And these are the stories that I went, oh, yeah, probably should have seen that coming. And then if the stories of roid rage weren't bad enough, you actually got you got Nitro describing what roid rage was like. They flat out, like, I mean, because you had, oh God, how many of the gladiators were on this documentary? There was Nitro, Gemini, Laser, Zap was there, Ice, who, I love Ice. Oh my God, I don't really remember her that much. Like, once I saw her in like her gear and everything and all in shape, I remembered her. But like, if you had asked me, hey, remember Ice? No, I don't. But she is now my new favorite. Oh my God, we will get to that. She is my new favorite. Anyway, you have Nitro and you have Laser, and they are openly admitting, yeah, we were roided all to hell. We were juiced out of our minds. And Nitro tells a story to illustrate what roid rage is like. And let me see if I can do this justice. He said, when you're on steroids, the things that annoy you will seriously piss you off. And the things that used to seriously piss you off will send you into a homicidal rage. And they proceed to tell this story where Nitro and Laser are cruising LA. Nitro has this ragtop Jeep, and they're just cruising LA, tops down, and the Sir Mix-a-Lot song, Baby Got Back, comes on the stereo. Nitro is just jamming out to this shit. Laser, who's just a big old country dude, says, ah, no, this is shit. Changes the radio to country. Nitro goes, did you just touch my stereo? Fuck is wrong with you? Puts it back on Sir Mix-a-Lot. Laser goes, that song sucks. And now, you know, they're fighting over a stereo. They're fighting over what songs played on the stereo. And they said it came to blows. They seriously started throwing punches in a moving vehicle. And Laser says, pull over right here, goddammit. And they pulled over and they beat the living shit out of each other on the side of the road in LA, all over a song on the radio. And this was that Rick James cocaine's a hell of a drug moment, but it was American Gladiators and it was steroids. And they said that the fight got so intense, at one point Nitro actually does this pro wrestling headlock takeover on Laser, and he's got him on the ground in this headlock. And their faces are, like, right next to each other. So Laser goes, screw you, and bites Nitro right on the face. Like, bites a chunk out of his face. And he's just fucking bleeding from the face. So they break up the fight. Nitro goes, there's no biting and fighting. And proceeds to just crack Laser right in the face. Swelled his left eye shut. And then they went, all right, fight's over. Got back in the Jeep and went to dinner. And they said they walked into this restaurant. Nitro is bleeding from the face. Laser has no vision out of his left eye because he can't see. And they just sat down and they had dinner. And Nitro says to the camera, he goes, yeah, that's what steroids do to you. They made no bones about, yeah, we were juiced out of our heads. Ice is my favorite. Okay, first thing, Ice is still hot to this day. She's gotta be late 50s, early 60s, still smoking hot. And then during the documentary, Lace comes out, says, well, I've been gay, dumbass. I was gay during the show, obviously, but she wasn't out. Like, the crew knew, like all the gladiators knew, nobody cared, but for the most part, nobody else knew. And they kind of kept it that way. Well, the show got so big that they decided to go out on tour. The studio decided, hey, let's send these people out on a 120-city tour. Well, you have, early to mid-20-somethings in a bus for 120 cities partying. And so the guys do what dipshit 20-year-old guys do. They start seeing who can score with the most chicks. So these guys after the show, they'd be at the bar, they'd see a chick, I got that one right there. And these guys would start competing about who could get a phone number, who could get her back to the hotel room, who could, you know. Ice stepped up and smoked all of them. Ice stepped up and this was amazing. It would get to the point where the guys would spot a girl at a bar or something and they would be like, oh, check her out. No, I got her. Wait, I called dibs. You can't call dibs. And they would get into arguments over who was going to try and take this girl back to the hotel. and ICE would find out what girl they were talking about, and ICE would chase this woman down like a lion taking down a gazelle on the Serengeti. It was fantastic. And she told this story where, I guess the first time she did it, Nitro and Laser are getting into it over, oh, that chick's cute right there. Look at the brunette in the red dress right there at the bar. I got her. And Nitro and Laser, they're talking about, yeah, and then while we're arguing over who's going to try to hook up with her, she disappears. It wasn't till the next morning that everybody, they would meet in the lobby of their hotel before getting on the bus and going to the next city. And Ice made it a point to be the last one into the lobby. So you have all the gladiators waiting. Ice, they have no idea why she's taking so long. And then Ice walks down the stairs with the hot brunette in the red dress on her arm. And both Nitro and Laser just dumbfounded. Yeah, bro. That was always going to happen. You were going to take the L on that one. Why did you think anything else was going to happen? Guys, a woman will always score with the chick you're ogling 10 times out of 10. You know why? Because women know how to talk to other women. What a fucking concept. Yeah, have you ever heard a woman compliment another woman's butt? It's fantastic. You hear one woman go, oh, I love your butt, it's so cute. And the other one, oh, thank you so much. It's such a cute conversation. Have you ever heard a man compliment a woman's butt? Nice turd cutter. That's why you're going to lose. 10 times out of 10, you fucking retards. So, yeah, Ice was my favorite. She was hilarious. End of the documentary, when they're kind of catching up with, you know, what everyone's doing now, Ice was talking about, like, I guess she was the first gladiator to have a TikTok. I immediately looked up her TikTok and started following. And I'm like, yes, awesome. Then I found out she was a Trump supporter. I was like, shit. That's too late now. Fuck it. All right. Anyway, back to this tour. So it was, I can't remember if they said it was season 3, 4. Show's huge by this point. Like, the show is huge. The crowds are sold out. Merchandise, they merchandise the shit out of this show. And then they decide, hey, we're going to put this show on a 120-city tour. And the scumbag director, he decides, okay, so he's trying to figure out the most economical way to get the gladiators to each city, get the sets, get all of the events. Like, he's trying to figure out how to do all this. And they decide that they're going to end up doing like an 8-truck setup. And he described it like, you know who does 8-truck setups? The Rolling Stones. Aerosmith. Like that level of cast and crew and equipment and everything. So they said they put these poor gladiators out for 120 cities, like day after day after day. And they were talking about, again, these people had no clue how to take care of their athletes, because that's what these were. These were athletes. There is not a sports team in the world that has a game every day. You know why? Because sports teams know that's retarded. That's ridiculous, and it's cruel, and you're going to end up killing your athletes. No, not these bastards. They made these gladiators go out day after day after day for 120 cities. And you talked about, like, these people just getting injured. And nobody thought, I think they said they had like 14 gladiators at this point. Men and women combined, it was like 14. And nobody thought ahead far enough. Again, these people didn't think of shit ahead of time. They were reactive, not proactive. And so what they did, you have 14 gladiators. Why not say, hey, we'll have these 4 male gladiators, these 4 female gladiators perform on this day. And then the next day we'll have 4 fresh ones and 4 fresh males, 4 fresh females. And then we'll just keep rotating like that to give these people some time off. No, they just hammered these poor people day after day after day. And then on top of that, at the end of this tour came the real just absolute kick in the nuts. They find out how much money is being made off the merchandise, how much is being made off of their likeness, their hard work. They were getting nothing off of the royalties. They were getting zero royalties off all the merchandising. This was so pro wrestling, it was ridiculous. You talk about the early days where these guys were just going out day after day after day, getting paid to perform, but not getting paid off everything else the promotion made, getting no cut of this. The Gladiators got fucked on this. And then Nitro comes out and says, we signed a contract saying that they would pay us this amount for this for you know this many days a year. They worked out a bonus for the tour, so they got paid for the tour. But they still didn't get paid anything off the royalties, off the merchandising rights. And on top of that, they signed the contract to into perpetuity, meaning forever. And Nitro points out, he's like, those contracts are illegal now. You cannot make a contract never ending. It's indentured servitude. And these poor people just got screwed. And so starting with like season 5, they got off the road and then had to start recording season 5 like 2 or 3 weeks later. And so you have Nitro, Gemini, Zap, and Ice, the four most popular gladiators, basically call their managers to call the studio and say, yeah, we're not showing up for TV unless we renegotiate these contracts. And the head of the studio, some fucking second generation TV guy, says, my dad didn't renegotiate with talent. I'm not going to renegotiate with talent. You're fired. And just think about the narcissistic, almost sociopathic mindset you have to be in to fuck your talent that bad and then fire them because they don't want to get fucked anymore. Think about that. And the documentary goes into just how the ratings fell. Like, your four main faces aren't there anymore. They replaced them with these like dollar store ripoff versions of gladiators, and the TV audience just stopped caring. And I can't remember which one it was, but one of the studio heads, they've been interviewing him during the whole documentary. This son of a bitch justified the show dying after the four most popular gladiators were fired. He justified it by saying, well, you know, it's TV and every show only has a certain shelf life. You're lucky if you'll get 5 seasons, and we got 6. Really? Really, you piece of shit? Because I swear to God, American Idol has been on for 20 fucking seasons. All right? Ghost Adventures, that piece of shit, has been on for like 32 seasons. Friends went for, what, 10? Supernatural went for 15. I know for a fact Smallville went for 10 seasons. Really? Five seasons? That's all you can expect? No, you bastard. You fucked over your talent. You fired them because they didn't want to get fucked anymore. And then you justified the show dying. Oh, it wasn't because we were stupid and let go of the main people. No, it's TV. It's how TV works. Oh, this documentary took me through this the limited range of emotion that I'm capable of. I went from joy to nostalgia to fucking anger over just how badly the talent got screwed. And, again, this show was amazing. It's called Muscles and Mayhem, the unauthorized biography of American Gladiators. It's on Netflix right now, folks. Go check this out. Go check this out. You will not regret it, I promise. So, all right, that is it. I am done for today. Oh, coming up on 50 minutes. Awesome. It's longer than I thought it would go. I'm actually going to record a show, another show, three consecutive weeks. How weird is that shit? I'm recording a show in the next couple of days on conspiracy theories. I found this book called The Psychology of Conspiracy Theories. I'm gonna burn through that book. And then Talk is Jericho, Jericho's podcast. They did a show on the quote-unquote conspiracy theories surrounding Bob Saget's death. So I'm like, oh, I'm so recording both of those shows this week. So next week, you're going to have a conspiracy theory show. All right? Anyway, I am Greg Hernandez, the Ninja Nerd Warrior. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, and now TikTok. Now TikTok? No, now Threads, also TikTok. Anyway, you damn it, Zuckerberg, you threw another platform in, and now I got to retool my closing, you bitch. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, suggest the show to anybody you like or anybody you don't like. I don't give a shit. Know anybody who used to like American Gladiators? Send them this show. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Or go right to the source and go to NinjaNerdWarriorPodcast.com. So with that, I will talk to you guys next week, which for me is going to be tomorrow. Talk to you later.
Hey, I know you from American Gladiators. You're Pyro.
Only on weekends. During the week, I'm just your average workaday stuntman.
Really?
Go ahead. Break a chair on me.
Wow, thanks.
Okay, boys, I gotta go. Come on, Lulu. Let's roll.